You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Well, hello and welcome to the William Hill Golf Podcast this week with me, John Gibby, joined as always on the line this time by Dave Tindall. Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, John. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. We are about to look back on a fantastic week. The Open, of course, taking place last week, and plenty of drama throughout the 4 days, especially in the final round. So we'll reflect on that before we go on to look at the two tournaments coming up this week, the European Open and the Canadian Open. Will get Dave's thoughts on the likely movers and shakers in those two competitions. But as always on the Golf Podcast, we'll start off by taking a look at last week, Dave, and what a week it was with the Open. Francesco Molinari becoming the first Italian to ever win a major championship. But he didn't always look the likeliest of champions through the 4 days.
No, he was kind of the slow and steady wins the race kind of card, wasn't he? Because everyone else had their moment. You saw Spieth come to the fore. It looked as if we'd get that amazing Tiger's going to win story on the back nine. Rory eagled 14. We thought, oh, it's his to win. And just slowly, slowly, steady away was Francesco Molinari making par after par after par. And he just made a couple of birdies just to kick away. And he did it brilliantly. It was almost like watching Tiger sort of win an event, the sort of ruthless way he did it. And very deserved winner, and very good news if you were a big fan of backing players in form, because he was in fantastic form going in Molinari. But I think the doubts were that maybe his price was a little bit short for what he'd done in the Open, but kind of his form sort of it was superseded everything. So yeah, brilliant win for him.
Do you think that there's more of an emphasis now on players coming into these big links tournaments in terms of recent form overall, and not just necessarily in terms of links golf?
Well, it got me thinking. Yeah, I think maybe in the past I've thought, oh, you need to be this links specialist. And I had this thing going on Twitter where I was pointing out that a lot of the players who did well last week hadn't warmed up in the Irish or Scottish Opens, when conventional wisdom says that's what you need to do to hone your links game. But yeah, I think maybe Molinari's win makes me think, if you're playing good golf, that's kind of maybe that's the first thing you need to be looking at.
Just putting a mention for some of the other players as well. It looked at one point like Rory McIlroy might be on the verge of securing victory here, but I guess he just had a few awkward kind of moments here and there, especially towards the beginning, that just saw him come up short in the end. He was only two off Molinari in the end, tied for second, of course, with a few of the other players.
It's almost surprising that he finished tied second, because you replay the tournament in your head and you can picture him missing lots of sort of very shortish makeable putts, or maybe driving loosely or finding a... But I don't know, it just seemed, how has he finished tied second? Because he seems to have made all these mistakes. I mean, he sounded very positive afterwards, but if I was him, I'd be thinking, oh, I could have won that quite easily if I just cut out this and that. But I suppose a lot of them will be having the same thoughts. But yeah, Rory, I mean, these last 4 years now in the Open, the last four times he's played it, top five. So he's got a fantastic record. And again, maybe someone you think isn't a true links specialist, because you think maybe he's not that brilliant in rough weather. But he sort of finished tied second without playing anywhere near his best. So sort of if he does get on one of his rolls, yeah, he's got definitely got more majors in him, Rory.
You mentioned Tiger Woods. He was at one point leading a competition for the first time in many, many years. He's just been outdone in the closing stages of this one. But do you think he's a player who has more major tournaments in him going forward, Dave?
Well, everyone sort of said, well, there's your proof that he will win another one. But I don't know, because you've still got to do it. As brilliant as it was to see him leading on the back nine, he was still sort of seven holes from home. He's six or seven holes from home. He's still got to get over the line. And to be honest, he buckled even before he made his double bogey. He'd been sort of saving par from sand, so it's just a very, very hard thing to do. I mean, if you look at the world rankings now, Dustin Johnson and Justin Rose, two fantastic players who've been around quite a long time, they've only won one major each. So it's a hard thing to do. So you can't just give Tiger, you know, presume he's going to get another one. I think he'll contend for more, but whether he'll get another one, who's to say? Because there's that many good players around.
We should also put in a mention for Tommy Fleetwood as well, who in the earlier stages of the competition, especially after a fantastic second round, looked like he was going to be bang there, but has fallen apart really on the final round. I know that on the last couple of days conditions weren't brilliant, but he's finished two over par on that final round, and that's just seen him slip out of those leading places.
Yeah, when he played that great round on Friday, thinking, this is his race to come and win, and just didn't have it going on the final day. And it was such a cramped leaderboard that if you weren't quite on it, Sunday you're falling down quite a long way. So it was some money in the bank for Fleetwood. That's the best we've seen of him in an Open. He's not got close before. Obviously, he's done great in the US Open, runner-up, but yeah, it might just take him a few more goes in the Open just to get completely comfortable. He was a tad disappointing on the weekend, you have to say.
Any other players you want to put in a mention for? Obviously, there's a number of them even towards the head of the leaderboard that we haven't even touched on yet. But who caught your eye? Who do you think put in a particularly interesting performance?
Well, I thought Rose was interesting because Justin Rose had never finished better than fourth, and which he'd done as an amateur. So 1998, famously fourth at Birkdale, hadn't actually bettered that as a pro, and he's now world number two. So I think he will now think he can win an Open, whereas before it was like, I keep getting asked all these questions every year about why is my Open record a little bit iffy. So he's definitely one that's gone in the sort of memory banks as someone to think. I mean, he's never going to be a fancy price or anything, but I think you can now think of him as a very, very legitimate contender rather than kind of hoping that he might have a good week on the links. So I think that will maybe act as a bit of a turning point.
And where now for Molinari? Do you think he's a player who can, you know, go on and potentially win more major titles, or do you think this is maybe going to turn out to be the peak of his career? I know that this is sort of crystal ball stuff to a certain extent, but yeah, do you think he can build on this?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of kind of guys who've won a major and then they've sort of, that's it, and they've sort of climbed the mountain, planted the flag and thought, now what? But I think for him, he's got the USPGA in America coming up pretty soon. I think he's going to be a massive factor in that because he's been playing his golf in America, got a win there by 8 shots, no less, only a couple of weeks ago. And it kind of reminds me of Padraig Harrington when he won his second Open in great form. Then he went to the USPGA and won that as well. So I could see Molinari. There's no reason why Molinari can't be a massive contender in the USPGA next month. And he's not going to be, you know, in the top four or five favourite, because you're always going to get your usual Dustin Johnsons and Rory's and Jordan Spieth. So I think Francesco Molinari, it might be the best time to strike and get a second major straight off the bat.
Be interesting to see how that turns out for him then in the PGA Championship. But we'll turn our attention now, Dave, to what's happening this week. Of course, sometimes we do see these tournaments. We've seen it with the Canadian Open in particular. So they suffer a little bit being off the back of a major, but there's still winners to be found in the European Open and the Canadian Open. We'll start with the Porsche European Open, and Paul Casey is the 8-1 favourite. Patrick Reed is then 9-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 12-1. 21, Pat Perez. Alexander Levy is then 25-1. Charles Schwartzel 25-1 as well, with Jordan Smith, last year's winner, also 25-1, and it's 33-1 bar. So one of the longest courses here on the European tour they're facing here, Dave, the Green Eagle course, 5 par 5s, obviously other than a player who's good at driving. What kind of a player are we looking for here?
Yeah, when you look at the leaderboard last time, it was it seemed to be a combination of hitting it long and hitting it straight, so you couldn't just blast it anywhere. You had to keep it fairly in the fairway. So it's very tempting just to sort of go to the European Tour's driving distance stats and try and pick the longest guys, but I don't think it's quite that simple. So I think someone who just hits it a fair way but also can hit it straight, because whatever you've however far you hit it, you're still gonna have a way to go. Some of these par fives are sort of 600 yards plus, so I think the players I've looked at, you're not thinking of as traditionally long hitters. You're just maybe thinking of them in form and hitting it straighter.
Who are you looking at then for a potential victory in the European Open?
Well, so I think we've got a bit of value this week, because there's three Americans who've stayed on post the Open to have another go: Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, and Pat Perez. So to me, they kind of make the market. Without those three here, they're the second, third, and fourth favourites. We'd be having to take sort of fairly horrible prices on players who we're not used to being so short. So they've made the market, and I don't think you can particularly say they're just going to cruise up and finish in the top five, all of them. Reed and Perez played it last year at this course. Reed was 19th, which is okay, but it's obviously not troubling the each way scorers, and Perez was disqualified. So obviously on world ranking and everything, they deserve to be where they are, but I'm not convinced they're going to have great weeks. So I'm going to go for, you've kind of got to 33 to 1 bar. I wonder if you were going to say his name. So I'm going to go for 33 to 1 Aaron Rye, the young Englishman. He's got a similar profile to Jordan Smith, who won this last year. Smith had been a sort of multiple winner on the Challenge Tour, the next grade down. Well, Aaron Rye won three times on that Challenge Tour last year, so knows how to get a W on the board, get his nose in front. And I think if you look through his form this year, you just think he's building a profile where it's coming soon. So you go back, let's go back as far as Qatar in February, 19th there, 9th in India, 20th in China, 12th in Spain. And then more recently, he was actually 5th on his last start in Germany. We're in Germany this week, in Hamburg. So he was 5th in the BMW International Open in Germany only last month. So positive memories about going back to Germany. Then the last time we saw him, he was 9th in the Scottish Open, shot a second round 63 there. Didn't play at Carnoustie in the Open Championship. So you can never quite tell if having your feet up for a week is a good thing or a bad thing. But the main thing for me here, he finished tied 9th in that Scottish Open. Very, very accurate player. You go through a driving accuracy stats each week and he's right up there. So I just think he's got the profile of someone who's going to get that win. And maybe the 33 to 1, it's just a few points bigger because we're thinking he's not the longest hitter. But I think that could slightly be a red herring. I'd rather focus on his good form and the fact that he hits it straight. So, Aaron Rye at 33 to 1 is my headline tip.
Aaron Rye, then, the main selection for Dave in this European Open. What about last year's winner, Jordan Smith? He's actually shorter than Wright, 25 to 1 in the betting. Do you think he's got a chance here of retaining his title against some traditionally bigger names?
Yeah, he had a great time last year, winning the playoff. We'll have positive memories. We're not sure, that was his first and only win, so we're not quite sure how well he's going to handle that. I mean, last year after he won here, then he went and finished top 10 in the USPGA, so that's how good he can be, Jordan Smith. Just maybe with the extra pressures of defending, and his form's been a little bit in and out. I just thought 25 slightly put me off. I'd rather go for the 33s on Rye.
Do we have others who are maybe a slightly more interesting, not the 33 to 1 isn't a perfectly respectable price, of course, Dave, but have we got any particularly wild ones?
Not really, but I'm going to go for another 33 to 1 shot.
Ooh, okay.
just to prove it is a very respectable price. So this is a guy, Adrian Ategui, which I struggle to pronounce his name on podcast. But
you wonder why I went 33 to 1 bar there, Dave. That was part of the reason.
Yes. So Adrian Ategui, we think. He, rather than the theory of someone playing well on this course, we know he plays well on this course because he was 5th last time. Shot second round 66 in that event, so that was good. And then actually later that year, he went and won the Paul Laurie Match Play, which was held in Germany. So recent trips to Germany, he's got fifth in this event and a win in the match play. So he will presumably, the Spaniard will like going to Germany. He also won the Belgian knockout earlier this year in Belgium, obviously, but that was in May. Second in the China Open before that. He's not quite done anything incredible since then, but I thought tied 12th in the French Open was another a really good knock. Wasn't brilliant in the Irish and Scottish Open, but they were on links courses. So I think one of the things you could look for this week, maybe look at players who didn't do great on the links, but now are better at these longer parkland tracks, because those sort of links form in Scotland Island, it's sort of false form because it's not their bag. So Ategwa, I think he does prefer a more parkland test, as he showed last year. So I think 33-1 again for a player who's won a couple of times, I thought, again, was decent value if you take any angle that the Americans are making the market.
So, Ategwa then, the other selection. Is that the only other selection in that European Open there for you, Dave?
Yeah, I've not ventured too far beyond the sort of top 10, 12 in the betting, but I thought we've got two good each-way shouts there, hopefully.
Okay, loads of selections then for Dave in that European Open. And the other tournament taking place this week is the Canadian Open, the RBC Canadian Open over in Canada, appropriately. 11-2 favourite for this one, Dustin Johnson. 10-1 then Brooks Koepka. 16-1 Tommy Fleetwood, we were talking about earlier on. 16-1 also for Tony Finau. 20-1 Bubba Watson. 25-1 Charlie Hoffman. 25-1 for Joaquin Niemann. 25-1 for Matt Kuchar. And for Sergio Garcia is also 25-1 and 33-1 bar. So interesting to see a few of the biggest names around, really, pitching up here, Dave, just a week after the Open. Are you going to be siding with one of them?
I don't think it's a bad idea to do so, because if you look at history, they have, the big names have played the Open Championship, gone back to Canada, done really, really well. So don't let that put you off. You think, oh, they'll be jet-lagged and all that kind of thinking. I think that's false. Dustin Johnson missed the cut at Carnoustie, surprisingly, but he always really tries in this event. He's runner-up a couple of times at this course. He's obviously married to Wayne Gretzky's daughter, who Wayne Gretzky is Mr. Canada in terms of sport, so he kind of does seem to try particularly hard this year. A lot of the players are sort of sponsored by RBC as well. That's where you see some of the big names, so I wouldn't put you off them, and in fact I'm going to go for one of the big names. Yes, thought that'd shock you.
It did a little bit, because I thought you might make a similar argument about them, you know, making the market and then going for something at a slightly bigger price. It would be your usual approach from when I've heard you tip. But it's interesting you're going this way. Who are you going for?
Well, just because the fact that he's won three times this year, which is more than anyone else in America. Bubba Watson, I'm not quite sure why we're getting 20-1. I mean, if you compare it, say, to Tony Finau, who's won once ever in his life, Bubba Watson has won three times this year and is a bigger price. So I don't quite get that. Again, maybe there's an argument. Finau, yes, he played really well in the Open Championship. Bubba was rubbish in the Open Championship, but he always is. It's not his thing. Once Bubba's out of his comfort zone, he struggles badly. But the opposite of that is when he is in his comfort zone, then that's when he tends to do his winning. You look where he's won this year at courses where he's won previously. Now, he's not got a win here previously, but he's got a second place that came in 2015, Bubba Watson. There's lots of par fives near the end of this course, and I remember he's kind of demolished them last time, so back in 2015. So forget what he did at Carnoustie, because that's just irrelevant. If you rewind to his US form, won the Travelers Championship at the end of June. That was only a few weeks ago. Then he was 13th at the Greenbrier. That was actually his joint best ever finish at the Greenbrier. So another sign that he's playing really well. He was actually top six going into the final day. So he almost could have had another win there. But he's got these three wins since February. So I just don't get why he's 20-1. It's that simple, really.
So he's the main selection then. Any others that you want to put in a mention for, should they pop up at a interesting price?
Well, I can sense your disappointment that so far I've not thrown in someone with a big price. So
it's partially because either it'll be, you know, whenever anyone tips up anything at a big price, either it comes in and it's the greatest thing ever, or you know, it doesn't, and it's a disappointment. But when it comes in, you know, it's a great moment. And I know you have had a few of these, you know, in times recent and not so, Dave. So I'm interested to see if you can find another.
Well, I'm going to go for the sort of classic big price, three figures, 100-1.
Oh.
I'm going to go for Harold Varner.
Oh.
It sounds a bit like he was in a 70s sitcom in the UK, but he wasn't. He's an American. He just has a bit of what they call converging trends, as in he's got course form and he's got current form. The current form, firstly, last two starts, sixth in the John Deere Classic and fifth in the Greenbrier. So look at that. If you'd backed each way the last two times, Harold Varner, or Harold Varner the Third, to give him his full name, you would have collected the eight-way money in his last two tournaments. So just on that basis, 100-1 looks big. Then you add in some course form. He was tied 23rd at Glen Abbey, which is where we are this week, in 2017, last year. Okay, tied 23rd doesn't get you any money, but it looked as though he might. He was fifth at halfway and 11th with a round to go. So clearly he does like this test. Big hitters have done well here, and Varner is definitely that. He's 18th in driving distance this year. So I think his game suits the course. I think we saw that it did last year. We certainly had evidence for two rounds. That second round, 65, as I said, got him to fifth at halfway. And then really sort of icing the cake, or perhaps being the main part of the cake, sixth and fifth on his last two starts. So put it all together, shake it around a bit. I think you've got a good 100-1 shot.
I love the cake metaphor there for the 100-1.
I was kind of making it up on the spot, but I think I got away with it.
Yeah, I think you did as well. Hal Varner then, 100-1 for this Canadian Open. Just a couple of other players to put in a mention for here, Dave. Sergio Garcia, 25-1. I actually know a few people fancied him for the Open, but he disappointed him with the cut.
Yes. Yeah, he was a bit of a damp squib at the Open, got off on the wrong foot and was never in it. So, yeah, I'm not rushing to back him this week, I have to say.
Do you think for players who... I mean, I know you made the case, obviously, for Bubba Watson in terms of he has his conditions more here. But in general, do you think players that turn up again at either of these two tournaments or at any time after a major where they perform badly, that's always going to be a negative for them?
I think it's really quite player-specific. I mean, if you do miss the cut, some of them might have then come home early, so they've had two more days to, you know, get over the jet lag or whatever. But it certainly shouldn't put you off. I don't think you should ever look at it and think he might have jet lag, because he probably won't, because we've seen so much evidence down the years of players playing well after a major, even if they've done quite well in it, that it becomes a bit of a... just a kind of, it's taking you down the wrong path to go along those lines. If you fancy somebody based on maybe his previous current form in America or even his course form, don't get put off by the fact that they played in the Open. That would be my advice.
And what about Dustin Johnson as well? I mean, I guess similar comments apply. Do you think he can sort of bounce back again here? I know he's a short price, but he's got to be a strong candidate.
Yeah, definitely, because I think he just had a game plan for Carnoustie that just didn't fit that course. He was just whacking driver everywhere. John Rahm tried the same. It just didn't work. So, missed the cut. There you go. But at this course, Glen Abbey, he's got two second places in his last three starts there. So, his last three performances here, 8th, 2nd and 2nd. So he can absolutely play this course. And, you know, some of that, I think all three of those have come after. He's played in the Open Championship the week before. So he just isn't fazed by that at all. And I don't know that he flew home early, but he might have done, or flew to Canada early. But as I said, he's got that kind of Gretzky thing going on as well. So I would not be surprised. Before he missed the cut in the US, in the Open Championship, he was third in the US Open and won St Jude. So he's in great form. So if you just take the Carnoustie form as a bit of a outlier, I think he's got every chance at 11-2.
Dustin Johnson looks to impress his father-in-law, the great one in Canada. He's the 11-2 favourite to do so. But Dave, will you remind us of your selections across both of the tournaments taking place this week?
Yeah, so in the Porsche European Open in Germany, Hamburg, Germany, I'm going to go a point each way on Aaron Rye at 33s and also a point each way on Adrian Otegui at 33s. And then over in Canada, RBC Canadian Open, I will go a point and a half each way on Bubba Watson at 20s and half a point each way on Harold Varner at 100s.
Dave, thanks for your wisdom as always here on the William Hill Golf Podcast, and we look forward to your company again next time on the show.
Thanks, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.